And that's exactly what God has given us. He's given us that, as believers, He's given us that toolkit to do this battle, to survive. And one of those pieces is the intel. And I don't know how many of you have had somebody pray with you, and then they just shared something. They shared a word of encouragement or shared a word that kind of gave you that direction. Anybody here have had that happen? They just spoke into your life, and it was, you can actually put your hands right up. It's okay to be, okay? it's really important to know that that's what God wants to do. It's just not, you're not one of many. You're an individual. And when somebody prays for you, if they work in this gift of prophecy, and we're gonna talk about this, then the prayer becomes more specific and more focused on you as a person. And I have had people speak into my life, Elaine and I, and give us direction, or not direction as much as gave us some words of encouragement that God was going to do something in our lives, and it didn't come to pass for like quite a while. But then you know that after you hear that and it comes to pass, and after you've been experiencing this, that when somebody speaks into your life, you write it down or have them write it down. And then you move ahead in that, and you wait. You don't try to make it happen, all right? I tried that. It doesn't work as good. Because you want it, it sounds good, right? And prophecy is not going to be, well, you know what? You're going to die on the 23rd of August 2018. That's not prophecy. That's doom. God knows when you're going to pass away. But that's not what prophecy is about. It's not about something negative. It's about something positive. And so I believe that all of us can prophesy. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, or we'll have it up on the screen as well. I really felt that this is what God wants us to hear this morning. And so in Joel, the minor prophets. Now, that doesn't mean that they were small or they didn't have much to say. It was just that they were a little shorter. They were like postscripts, or, you know, they were like a tweet instead of a full message in today's language. They just had this message, and it wasn't very large. And they were just as powerful in what they had to say to the church or to Israel at that time in the Old Testament, and then the prophets in the New Testament to the church today. And so in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, it says this: "In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." That's quite a bit, right? He's going to pour out his spirit on all people, all flesh, it says. "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." So not just sons and daughters, but all his servants, all those who serve him. So that is everyone in here that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That means that God is going to pour out his spirit today, this morning. He's going to pour out his spirit on each one of you. So what's that going to look like? And then he goes on to say that there's a day coming when there is going to be a lot of difficulty in our world. "I'll show you wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood red before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord." And then he says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we know salvation is through Jesus Christ on the cross. If you accept his death and believe in the resurrection and ask for forgiveness for your sins, then you'll be saved. But this is Old Testament. So what are we talking about here, that they'll be saved, because they didn't really know about the pattern in the New Testament? It hadn't happened yet. And so that word "saved" means delivered. Delivered. And God wants to show you that he has a plan for your deliverance. It's amazing. Some people, just the first time they come to Christ, they they get healed right away. Or they quit whatever addiction that they've had before. It might be swearing, it might be drinking, it might be pornography, or it might be whatever. It's some vice that you had that you just couldn't shake. And I think I'm speaking for pretty well everyone. There's something there. There's something that's got a hold of you and you're wrestling with it. Could be shopping. Yeah, see? Could be shopping. And what it is, it doesn't, shopping's not bad, okay? Don't get me wrong. But if you're compelled to go shop and your cupboards are full and you don't wear any of the stuff or your fridge is full, or if you just got to buy, there's something there that you're trying to appease inside of you. And so God wants to deliver you from the talons of this world. He wants to deliver you so that you can be free. Because you see, what we're talking about yesterday is a remembrance of freedom. Freedom. Honestly, freedom. And we've traveled a bit in the world and we've been to countries that aren't free. Some of you understand because you've moved to Canada from countries that are not free. Jesus Christ has come to set us free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's not just our physical being, that's our emotional being, and that's our spiritual being. We can be free. There's awesome feeling in that freedom. And what God wants us to understand in this prophecy that came before Jesus Christ is that he's going to pour out his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, on everyone who believes. And anyone who calls on the name, anyone who says, Lord, come into my life, anyone who says, I need you to be my Savior, anyone says that, and they will be delivered, set apart. So I just want to read it out of the NET Bible because it's just a little bit different. It says, after all of this, I'll pour out my Spirit on all kinds of people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your elderly will have revelatory dreams. Your young men will see prophetic visions. Even on male and female servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days. I will produce portents both in the sky and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sunlight will be turned to darkness and the moon to the color of blood before the day of the Lord comes, that great and terrible day. It also happens that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be delivered. Well, you know, I've been around the Christianity family for a long time, and I've seen blood red moons. If you were in BC this last summer, the smoke has made beautiful blood red moons. That's not what we're talking about. That's different. Those are end time things. End time things are happening. But in the meantime, God wants to equip you. He wants you to have the tools. He wants you to be able to move in those areas that only he can equip you to do. So I will pour out my Spirit. He will on all people. First of all, I need to know if you're even open to this. Like, do you really want the Holy Spirit just to come and guide you and minister to you and direct you? That's like awesome. I think that's awesome because now you're walking in a realm that's not, it's not just the, well, let's go to church and let's sign the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, Richmond Pentecostal Church membership card, and then we're instantly going to go to heaven, and then we just kind of hang out till then. It's not a hangout thing. This is an exciting time in the world today. All you have to do is watch the 6 o'clock news. All you have to do is go on your iPad or your phone or whatever, and you see the battle that we're in. People's lives are being destroyed, and we live in that world today. We live in that world. How close is it? It's so close that we have people who are in gang wars and stuff, and people in the back corner before we came here a few years back. There was a shooting in the back corner of our parking lot while our daycare was still going on through the day. That's how close it gets. How close does it get? It gets, you know, if you go to Tim Hortons, it's just last year, a guy was shot right in Tim Hortons during the day. What's happening in our world today is different than what's happening in the world 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 50 years ago. But it's happening and it's becoming larger and larger and more. And so we need to know that we have more resources than just what we have that we feel comfortable with. We need to know that we're plugged in, that we're connected to the Holy Spirit. And he said that this is not for a specific group of people. He said that this is for all people, all flesh, all those who follow Jesus Christ. You are all equipped through the Holy Spirit to be able to use this ministry. So how does it look? Well, Paul teaches it this way. And this is, and for if you're visiting and you haven't been to a Pentecostal church, this is the gifts of the Spirit we're talking about. And it might be a little confusing, but we believe that the whole Scripture is alive and well today, and that we believe that the Holy Spirit's ministering in these areas. So we believe in speaking in tongues, and that should be interpreted so that you understand what's being told to you. Because I only speak English, but many people in here speak different languages. But God has a way of connecting us to what the word is being said. But Paul says this, tongues then are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. Prophecy is to be spoken in to encourage us. Follow the way of love eagerly. Desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Goes on to say, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Those are key things. Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Not to point out their sins, not to make them feel bad about something, not to go on a guilt trip with them. But instead, prophecy is for strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. What happens is when you pray and speak in tongues, then you're connecting with God. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about we have speaking in languages of men and angels. And so we have this, and it's totally crazy. Yeah. It really is. When you know, we try as Pentecostals to go, okay, well, here, I'll explain it. How do you explain it? How do you explain when you pray for somebody for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all through Scripture it says, and then they spoke in tongues? It's like, I remember the first time I did, I'd like, whoa, like, what's going on in my head? Like, what's going on? And what's going on is God has said, or you have said, okay, God, come in and take over my brain and pour into my brain, and then I will let my tongue speak out what you've created for me to speak out. And that sounds so weird. It does. It sounds weird amongst the people in the church, and it really sounds weird when you're by yourself or you think you're by yourself. Remember in when we pastored in the Yukon, I put my parka on, and it was like 40 below, so I'd go out for a walk, and so the parka had a big wool face on it, like, so you could pull it tight, and all you could see was like that. So you could never see who was in the parka. You could tell by the braiding on the parka and the color of the parka, but you could never, so I would, that was a great place for me, because I was a little, and it was a big city, like of 600 people, so everybody kind of knew everybody, and so I'd put my mukluks on, which are like big leather shoes, and they're really light, and And then you went out because you had to get out or you'd go nuts in your house because it's just not a good place at 40 below to be staying there when it's not very light. So I'd go out and I'd go for a walk. I'd go for a prayer walk and I'd speak in tongues. I'd pray in tongues. And nobody knew who was inside the parka doing that. They probably thought, because we didn't have cell phones at that time, they probably thought I was really nuts and I'd been up the Yukon too long. But I was connecting with God. Him and I were together in that park, and I was talking to him, and he was edifying me, but it didn't do anything for anybody else. But it does a lot for you and your relationship with God. You can pray when you can't have, you don't even know how to pray. God, in his wisdom, said, I'll pray for you, or I'll pray through you for that situation. That's awesome. He doesn't expect us to do something that is impossible to do, but he equips us. And with prophecy, what he wants to do is he wants to speak into your life so that you can speak into somebody else's life. When there's a prayer line, we're going to have a prayer line later. I remember praying for people and God just gives me a picture for that person. That's prophecy. And so what I do is I speak that picture into their life. Is it scary? Because that picture might not make any sense to you. It doesn't have to make any sense to you. What it has to make sense is that the Holy Spirit's speaking to that person. And if you have the courage and understand that God will use you in this area of prophecy, then you will speak into that person and their lives will change because you'll confirm something that God's speaking with them, or you'll encourage them, or you'll strengthen them, or you'll bless them in a way that they'll walk out of there after that prayer and go, God, you've really met me. And the person praying may not have a clue how that fits. And that's pretty scary because you don't want to look stupid, do you? Especially if you're the prayer-er. You want to be spiritual. You know, you don't want them to walk out and go, what a bozo. Like, what did he say that for? We got that self-image that we want to keep up. Look, don't worry about being a bozo. That's a Greek word for fool, okay? No, it isn't a Greek word for fool. But what God is, he just wants to use you. He wants to use every one of you to speak into other people's lives, and he wants others to speak into your life. When you pray, and maybe it'd be just in a card and you'll write it out. We have some of the prophecies that are spoken to us over the last 35 years that we reflect back on and say, God, this is so amazing. Now be careful because there's prophets out there that are just like they're wing nuts. They're just talking and they don't hear from God. They are speaking from themselves because they like that recognition. Be careful. Discern. It's another one of the gifts that God has given us. But I'll tell you today, in this church, the prophecy, God wants us to prophesy. He wants us to encourage. He wants us to bless one another. And so let's move on here. Paul says this, I would like everyone of you in the church to speak in tongues. That's what Paul says. But I'd rather have you prophesy. All right? Pentecostals are good, like we got to speak in tongues. That's kind of our badge. If you can speak in tongues, well, there you are. You're going right to heaven. No problem at all. It's not about that. It's not about, hey, I arrived, I can speak in tongues. It's about being in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And yet Paul says you can speak in tongues and then you can have that as edification for yourself, or you can speak in tongues in the church and have that interpreted so people understand what God is saying. But Paul says, I'd rather you prophesy. Why does he say that? Because the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. So if that tongues message comes out and then it's interpreted, then it speaks to the whole church. But the prophecy edifies right away. You following this? Or do you need to maybe go online and try to sort this out? Hopefully I'm not going to confuse you too much. And I really think this is important. So Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. We are in a world today where we need to encourage one another. We do. And you think, well, you know, maybe that's the board in the church, and maybe that's the pastors on staff, and maybe that's some of the leaders. No. Actually, that kind of thinking is incorrect, because really we're here to equip you to do exactly this. So you go, well, yeah, but I don't think I could, I could really pray for you, Pastor, and speak into your life. Whew. Absolutely. You could do that. Why? Because we're all equal in God's eyes. I'm the pastor, but I'm not above being ministered to by anyone. Because actually, Scripture in Ephesians 4 tells us that you are the ministers and we're the equippers. So you're the ministers. Isn't that great? So we have, look how many ministers we have in our church. How many ministers do we have on staff? We have a lot, because all of you are ministers. And so I want to encourage you to start ministering in this area. Prophecy is so very vital. It's the intel of what's going on in people's lives. It's the place that says, hey, you know what? God just kind of showed me this. Does that make any sense? And you know, you might get it wrong sometimes, but don't stop. Just say, God, just give me some clarity. Give me some direction. Give me some instruction. So I find it really interesting in the book of Acts. It says here, after we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, and then we went aboard and set sail. And after sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on our way to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was going to be unloaded from its cargo. We sought out the disciples there and stayed with them for 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? And Paul, it doesn't say it here, but it says it later on. He knew he had to go. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way, all of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt to pray. Key thing here, you need to pray. I don't know what your prayer life is like, but you need to pray. You need to be people of prayer. Well, what does that mean? Do you have to kneel down, and do you have to say King James prayer? What do you have to do? You know what? You just have to talk to God. I really encourage people to talk to God the way you talk to anyone else. If you just talk with him, you don't have to do anything fancy. There's posture. You can stand. You can kneel. You can put your hands up. You can do all sorts of things, you know, if that's comfortable. But you don't have to do any of those things. You could sit in your chair, hopefully with the TV off, and just have a cup of coffee and talk to God. Can you do that with somebody else? You could go to Tim Hortons with God. You'll have to buy. But you can go there and hang out with him. All he wants to do is hang out with you. He doesn't want you to be anyone who you're not. And so if you talk with him like you'd talk with any other friend. Talk with him like you'd talk to your parent. Or maybe, as Elaine said, maybe that's not as easy. But talk with him knowing that you can talk to him as your parent. Can you get mad at him? Yeah, you can get mad at him. Some of you are thinking, no, you can't. You shouldn't. I mean, that's not a good thing. I have a few times been really ticked with him. He's the kind of parent that doesn't go, okay, Jim, now that I've, you know, you rant and rave and shook your fist in my face, you know what? You know, you're not only going to go to your room, but you're going to go to a room with both your legs broken, because I'm God, and I don't put up with that kind of stuff. It's amazing he puts up with that kind of stuff, because before it even flows out of your mouth, he already knows it. So if you're sitting there just simmering away, wishing you could tell God what was on your mind, you don't have to. He already knows. So what you do is vent it. Go ahead, talk to him. And the more that you understand him, the less you're going to vent. And the more you're going to come to him with those needs that you have. And you're going to realize that he will speak into your life. And he will use somebody to speak into your life as well. You might get a phone call. You might get a text. You might be standing with somebody that you're just standing with in church or having a coffee. And they just speak into your life because they're prophesying into you to strengthen you, encourage you, and equip you. You got to pray. You got to get in that wavelength. You got to turn it on. If you have an iPad or if you have a computer, it's no good to you. Your phone's no good unless it's turned on and connected. You need to turn on and connect to Jesus. Then Paul says, after saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship and we returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and then landed in Ptolemais, where we stayed and were greeted by the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. None are really like this. Leaving the next day, they're pretty busy, we reached Caesarea and stayed there at the house of Philip the evangelist. That would have been a guy to be around because he was the guy that God said, go along this road and meet this Ethiopian eunuch and then tell him about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, when he was done after baptizing him, he's gone like that. Like he was in another city way far away, and he just happened to get there. I don't know how he got there, but I think it was just supernatural. They call it Philip's transport. It just happened. Supernatural stuff. We stayed at Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. And that's all it says. He had four. Like, Philip was tuned in to God. He was an evangelist. His heart was to win people to Christ. He had four daughters that weren't married, four daughters. I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they will prophesy. Four daughters. That's all it says. What would that house have been like? What would it have been like? It would have been so different. To have four daughters prophesying. I think it would have been really exciting because I think the move of God would have been there all the time. It would have been interesting. I don't think it was that they were prophesying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I think what they were doing is they all prophesied in their life, in what they did every day. You know, I would love to hear God say, there's a church in Richmond, a Pentecostal church, and they're my sons and daughters, and they all prophesy. I mean it. I honestly do, because it's such an exciting thing to be used of God to speak into somebody else's life, and it's so exciting to have God speak into your life by a brother or sister. So I'm going to conclude with this. I may get the worship team to come up. In the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Young men, get ready to see visions of God. Visions that God gives you. And us old guys, no more visions, just dreams. Maybe that's because we sleep more now. I don't know. But you're going to have dreams, and God is going to speak in your dreams, and you're going to see things, and you're going to be able to convey those things because he's going to direct you. Isn't that awesome? 24 hours a day, your Holy Spirit, your God, your Father, Jesus Christ is inside of you ministering and working in your life. And then he says, even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit on those days. And they will prophesy. I'm going to give you an invitation to come forward. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then I'm going to have you come over to this side here. If you want to move in the gift of prophecy, I want to encourage every person here. That's pretty scary maybe for some of you. Say, I don't know, I don't think I want to go there. God wants you to go there. He wants to pour it out because, you know, Jesus Christ is coming back. And the more we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the more message that we have, the more opportunity that we can encourage one another, the more that we can go forward in strength to be part of the harvest.